This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, Target, one of America's top retailers, has seen a 19% decrease in their stock since they decided to champion gender confusion. American Family Association President Tim Wildman joins us with the latest on the boycott that has Target looking for cover. And in 1954, Texas Senator Lyndon Johnson, angry over opposition from nonprofit groups in his reelection bid for the Senate, slipped a provision in the tax code that has been used to essentially silence churches on issues deemed political. But 62 years later, that could be about to change. Georgia Congressman Jody Heiss is here to discuss the effort to repeal the so-called Johnson Amendment. That's coming up here on Washington Watch. Also, I'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, find out more about our guest, and still lots of information up there for you. Again, that website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. Earlier this week, Hillary Clinton had a press conference. It was Monday, after the terrorist attacks over the weekend. And it's interesting because of the way she approaches it. Same thing with Barack Obama, not wanting to identify the Islamic terrorist. But they don't apply the same standard to domestic issues, such as shootings with police officers. And I'm going to play you two clips a little bit later on this and let you hear for yourself. We'll just hold it right there. I'll play it a little bit later. Well, first, I want to bring in one of our friends at the American Family Association. He is the president of the American Family Association, and they are some of the most effective when it comes to getting the attention of businesses. And earlier this year, they predicted that the moment that Target announced its transgender bathroom policy in April of this year, that it would be costly for them. Now, you may remember that Target announced that they would be opening its bathrooms and changing rooms to both sexes. This was really to help the Obama administration and what they were imposing on the schools. Remember, it all happened in North Carolina. Well, in essence, what this policy did is it meant that Target was giving men free rein to enter bathrooms and changing facilities for women. Lots and lots of safety concerns were voiced by folks like the American Family Association, the Attorney General of Texas, and others. And almost 1.5 million Americans signed a pledge to boycott Target. Despite almost 1.5 million Americans pledging to boycott, the huge hit to their bottom line, 19% decrease in their stock value, Target is still adamant on their policy, opening these changing rooms and bathrooms to whatever sex wants to get in. Well, joining me now with an update on this is the president of the American Family Association, Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thanks for having me. Good to be on with you.
Hey, Target this week doubling down, saying that they're going to continue trying to boost morale of employees who are concerned about the decrease in sales. This is really affecting their bottom line, is it not?
Yeah, it is, Tony. It really is. And when we started this, we did not know for sure that we could impact the bottom line of Target. But this has, and it's measurable. You cited some of the results of the boycott. Here's what happened. The boycott started in April when Target announced to the world that they thought it was a great idea to welcome men into women's restrooms and changing areas, and they wanted the world to join them. Well, some of the world did. 1 million people in the world said, I'm not going to your stores anymore. And they did that in 1 week. 1 week. As far as we know, that's the fastest boycott pledge in history. We did 20 minutes of research on that, so don't hold me to that. But we think, and then it's gone to almost, as you say, between 1.4 and 1.5 million. And that represents families.
Right.
basically, who not going. And how many people heard about it and said, I'm not going to Target anymore, who won't sign a pledge on the internet? So this affected their foot traffic in their stores. They're reeling from this, Tony. And in fact, they had a couple weeks ago, they had an unprecedented 10% off their in-store and online sales, a sale, S-E-L-L, S-A-L-E, I guess I should say, in their stores and online, trying to get people back in their stores who had left. So this is hurting them. Their answer is to build family restrooms in all their stores. That's what they said they're going to spend $20 million doing. Well, that's good. As long as they still say men go to men's rooms and women go to women's rooms. But until they have that policy, that doesn't help building the family restrooms.
Well, what they're trying to do is build a place. A family restroom would be for those that are uncomfortable,
yes,
with the possibility,
yes,
of, say, a woman that a man is going to walk in. They're not,
yes,
going to tell transgenders or those that want to use,
right,
the opposite.
No, that's what they
the
need to do.
Room.
What they need to do is say, as humankind has always had down through the ages, we're going to have men's and women's separated restrooms and changing areas. And I guess except for, Rome, in the last parts of Rome where they had debauchery. But most times in human history, we've had separation of the sexes, and everybody knows why. It's kind of an obvious reason.
Right. And it doesn't need much explanation.
No.
And that's why I think there's been such a strong reaction to this. We've seen it over and over. Target, probably one of the most prime examples where it's measurable. But in the polling data, we conducted a poll about a month ago that showed that actually it was right before the Republican convention, 66% of Americans are against the government imposing these types of policies, which is what we saw unfolding in North Carolina. Target trying to jump on, thinking they were going to be waving the flag and the banner for this new era of sexuality, and it's come back to bite them.
You know, it has backfired on them. We're so elated, and I know you are, and we don't want to take total claim for this, American Family Association, although I want to take 99% of the credit if I can't. No, I'm just kidding. FRC joined in, CWA joined in, millions of people around the country spread the word. This is beyond our reach here at AFA and AFR, so we're just happy that to say that it's working. And it's causing, nobody likes to boycott anybody, and that's not a pleasant thing to do. But you know what? This is a line in the sand issue, and we didn't want it to become a trend. Target thought they would be a trend center, and everybody would come in behind them and join their efforts and announce us too, as we all try to pile on North Carolina. And what Target found was nobody joined them.
Far from being a trendsetter, their sales are going down the toilet.
Exactly.
And it does send a message.
Down the toilet, I got that, by the way.
Oh, you did. Okay,
yeah,
I'm glad you caught that. The reality is this is more organic than you think.
Right.
When the word got out, people are just concerned. They don't like this. I mean, this is an issue of privacy. It's an issue of safety. And, they're trying to make this issue like a issue du jour, like it is the issue that they're going to champion this issue. And I think they're paying a huge price for it. And I think other retailers are going to step back and say, you know what, do we really want to do this? That's why I believe that all of this stuff in North Carolina, all these businesses, the NCAA, these sporting affiliates, making a big deal about HB2, when they could do just like Target. They could adopt this policy voluntarily under North Carolina's law, but they won't. The reason? Because they will face the same thing as Target.
Right.
They want to be able to say the government made us do it.
Exactly. Keep in mind, what's going on with North Carolina is just unfathomable. This is just crazy. People like Coach K, the legendary Coach K at Duke, saying HB2 is embarrassing. You have people that are admired by many in the Christian public, and you have these companies that are – it's just nuts. I hope North Carolina holds firm. All North Carolina is saying is we're going to protect our women and little girls from men going into their restrooms on government property. That is common sense, And notice, if you'll notice, Tony, I haven't heard anybody that's condemned this law say anything but something vague, like, oh, I'm against discrimination, so I've been against HB2. Nobody challenges that person then to say, so you're for men being able to go into women's bathrooms. Nobody says what it really is, because if you say that, then the person has to defend that position, not this vague, I'm against discrimination and bigotry thing right. that they want to put out there. So anyway.
Actually, what this is, what we see unfolding in North Carolina, what we see with about two dozen states suing the Obama administration right. is exactly what Target is doing, in that it would be forcing their customers to go yes. into a situation that is both uncomfortable and potentially unsafe.
Yeah.
And the government wants to force every business to do the same.
Yes.
That's exactly what this we're
is
looking at.
This is Romans 1 before our very eyes. I wrote a column on this earlier today. I haven't posted yet. This is the closing door to the last of the sexual revolution, what we see going on here today. And we Christians, we understand this. We have spiritual eyes to see what's going on. This is fundamentally what's going on in our culture, whether it's Target or those who are attacking North Carolina. They are in rebellion against God Almighty. We don't want to be told how to live, how to behave. We don't want to be told about any sexual morality, anything like that. And so that's what is going on. It's playing itself out, as I said before, our very eyes in this country. We need to pray for the leaders in North Carolina that they hold firm. Everybody ought to go vacation in North Carolina, spend some money Absolutely. In North Carolina. Support, as long as they hold firm, they need to be supported. And so anyway, yeah, good deal.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association, my guest, talking about Target and their 19% drop in stock prices. People refusing to shop there because of their policy, their bathroom policy, gender-confused bathroom policy.
And changing area, Tony.
And changing areas, that's right. And that's where we've actually seen a number of cases, one of the latest in Texas, where someone was videotaping
right.
a woman. A man was videotaping a woman in the changing room, taking advantage of this policy.
Right.
Tim, we're almost up against a break, but quickly, the responsibility that Christians have to spend their money, how they spend their money, this is an example of that, of not spending it with a retailer that
yeah.
is counter to the values that you hold and what the Bible lays forth.
That's right. Yeah, you know, there are some things we can't control. We can't control Obama's executive orders all the time, although our congressman can fight it. But guess what? You can't control where you shop. And Target has said we're against the safety by their actions, that we're against safety for women and children. We're going to go with the transgendered men, letting men in women's restrooms, and the American public has said, all right, then we'll shop somewhere else, and that's the appropriate response.
Yeah, this is about pushing the moral envelope.
Yes.
So what we do is we need to push the shopping cart someplace else.
There you go.
All right. Tim Wildman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can follow the links over. All right, still to come, we're going to be talking about the Johnson Amendment. What is it? What does it do? And what is Congress going to do about it? Also, we will be talking about Hillary Clinton, some comments she made earlier in the week. Don't go away.
Every day, Christian values are being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy at an alarming rate. What can ordinary Christian citizens do to make their voices heard in an arena that is set on silencing them? FRC is here to help. Every week on the FRC blog, we will publish a question of the week that people like you are asking around the country, along with our answer. Send us a question you may have about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any specific value that FRC continues to stand for, whether it be life, marriage and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/contact and enter Question of the Week in the subject line for the chance to be published on our blog. Again, that's frc.org/contact and enter Question of the Week in the subject line. Thank you for standing with us.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger. A group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
American Family Radio is for the church.
My name is Kelly, and I live in Rapid City, South Dakota. Shortly after I became a Christian, I found your station, thinking it was my church's station. So I started listening and found out that it wasn't my church's station, but I was so hooked. I had no idea that there was any kind of culture war going on at all. I didn't know anything about the gay marriage agenda or how bad abortion was in our country. I'm so grateful, and I've become very active in the culture war. I've been very involved in the pro-life movement and in every share-a-thon since. So I just wanted to thank you so much for informing me on what was going on and being such an encouragement throughout my day.
Your financial gift keeps your family equipped for the culture war. Join us for our 3-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Just got word they've called votes for the House, and so Congressman Heiss is headed down to the floor, so we're not going to be able to get him today. So we'll move on. I still want to talk about the issue of the Johnson Amendment. I'm going to get Travis Weber, who is the director of our Center for Religious Liberty, is going to join me in a bit. But I want to go back to something I mentioned at the top of the program. On Monday, I was listening to the press conference of Hillary Clinton, and she was talking about the terrorist attack over the weekend. All right, and so she wanted to ensure that we had this measured, restrained response, and that we did not jump to any conclusions about who had conducted these terrorist acts in New York, New Jersey, and in Minnesota, that we should not rush to judgment. Now, I want you to hear her clip. This is from her on Monday at a press conference.
I think it's always wiser to wait until you have information before making conclusions.
Now, it was a little hard to hear, but you said, I think it's always wise to have information before coming to conclusions. Now, the issue was about the fact that this was Muslim terrorism, Islamic terrorism, that we had yet another radicalized Muslim that had perpetrated attacks on American soil. We can't say that. And she went on in the press conference to say, you know, we don't want to upset all Muslims or imply that, the standard routine. Same thing we hear from Barack Obama, who refuses to utter the words Islamic terrorism. Now, this was yesterday. She called into Steve Harvey's radio program. Now, of course, Steve introduced Mrs. Clinton in the most glowing terms and enthusiastically proclaimed he was voting for her. You know, their conversation spanned many topics, but one point of conversation really caught my attention. It was when the conversation turned to the shooting. There was a recent shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, of Terrence Crutcher. And this was another one of those shootings He was a African-American shot by a police officer. All right. Now, listen to Hillary Clinton's response in this case.
We've got to tackle systemic racism, this horrible shooting again. How many times do we have to see this in our country? In Tulsa, an unarmed man with his hands in the air? I mean, this is just unbearable, and it needs to be intolerable. And so, you know, maybe I can, by speaking directly to white people, say, look, this is not who we are. We've got to do everything possible to improve policing, to go right at implicit bias. There are good, honorable, cool-headed police officers. We've seen them in action in New York over the last, you know, 48 hours because of the terrorist attacks. We can do better. We have got to rein in what is absolutely inexplicable, and we've got to have law enforcement respect communities, and communities respect law enforcement because they have to work together. So I have a big agenda.
You're listening.
All right, she's going to talk to white people. So I guess she's, I don't know, she's talking to me? I'm sure not listening. Look, do you see the hypocrisy? Oh, we don't want to rush to judgment that a guy in a mall in Minnesota asked whether or not his victims were Muslim before he stabbed them and yelled, Allah Akbar. Don't rush to conclusions. He could be Buddhist, and he was trying to throw investigators off. I mean, come on. This is the political crisis. It's okay to bash the police. It's okay to lecture white people. Look, I've talked about this before. Well, talked about this, okay? Now, I know there are cases. There are some cases where there are problems in law enforcement, okay? But they are few and far between. The president and Hillary Clinton jump to the same conclusion every time, that racism is behind it. Have you thought about the fact that it's become very difficult for the police to do their job because of the president and because of Hillary Clinton raising such animosity within certain communities toward the police, especially the president doing that? I'm still connected with the law enforcement community. And unless you've been in one of those situations, you don't understand the stress, and they have made it worse by creating this hostility between certain communities and the police when they should be working to try to bring them together. But the contrast there between dealing with these two situations so stark and shows the hypocrisy of Hillary Clinton. And again, the same thing with Barack Obama. Immediately jumping to conclusions that somehow racial bias was behind the shooting. But yet when it comes to a terrorist who is Muslim, has nothing to do with his religion when he's trying to kill Americans. Folks, maybe you see it differently. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something. So we'll talk about that a little bit later here on Washington Watch. But first, when we come back, we're going to talk about the Johnson Amendment, which back in 1954, then Senator Lyndon Johnson, slipped it into the tax code to try to silence nonprofits because he found a lot of opposition in his bid for reelection in Texas, and so he thought he would just silence these nonprofits. Well, as a result, churches, it's been used against churches to keep them silent on any issue deemed political. But now, there's a major push to get that removed. We're going to talk about that with Travis Weber from the FRC Center for Religious Liberty when we come back. So don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch after this.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
We got an interesting report out of the OECD. That is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. This is a think tank in Paris that is made up of member countries that are all the largest economies in the world, of developed nations. And they're usually pretty accurate, but like everybody else in this world, they're a little behind the curve. So they came out and said this, that they have warned that very low negative interest rates are distorting the asset markets, particularly the financial system, and threatening their stability. Do you think? Now, obviously, they're not just figuring this out, but they have obviously believed that it is time that they put it out there and let everybody know. We've been saying this here at Financial Issues for years, that this is exactly the route it's going to go. But nonetheless, they're coming out putting a warning out. Listen to this. They are mentioning that the average growth of productivity in the developed world is going to increase only 0.2% a year for the next 10 years. Needless to say, that is not growth at all. And I have said over and over again that productivity is a huge problem. They also mention that income stagnation is creating huge problems globally for people.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at TPerkins. And let me remind you once again that this program is made available because of folks like you across the country who partner with the Family Research Council to bring you Washington Watch. If you'd like to partner with us financially, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right. On October the 2nd, pastors across the country will be participating in something that's called Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Now, this is, I believe, the eighth year I'm serving as the honorary chairman of this event. It's an initiative that was started by the Alliance Defending Freedom, and it goes back to 1954, as I mentioned before the break. Lyndon Johnson, angry over opposition from nonprofit groups in his reelection bid for the Senate, slipped a provision in the tax code that since then has been used to essentially silence churches and other nonprofits, but particularly churches, on issues deemed political. But 62 years later, that could be about to change. Congress is entertaining a measure that could repeal, at least in part, the Johnson Amendment, something that Donald Trump actually has been talking about. People never heard about it. Even reporters say, what's the Johnson Amendment? What's he talking about? Well, what he's talking about is taking the leash off of churches so that they can speak freely when it comes to political issues. Joining me now to talk about this is the director of the Center for Religious Liberty here at the Family Research Council, Travis Weber. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Right. How big of a deal is this Johnson Amendment when it comes to churches being able to speak freely?
I think it's a pretty big deal, and for several reasons. One, as you had mentioned, this may have never been intended initially to silence churches, but it's certainly been used in that way. And, regardless of the minimal action taken by the IRS against churches to completion, there are many, many people out there, pastors and churches and different other folks who kind of populate the nonprofit world, who are under the impression that they're just supposed to stay away from various statements deemed political, whether pertaining to candidates or not. So there's a misimpression that is driven by a chilling effect and confusion and suppressive guidance from the IRS, which is driven by the Johnson Amendment. So this is a problem that is on the books, and it would be really lighten the load and promote free speech if we could get things changed.
Yeah, in my research, going back looking at it, it was actually, I don't believe it was directed at the churches. There was actually a couple of nonprofit entities that were funded by some very wealthy oil men who were conservative and wanted to take Johnson out from being senator. And so they did a lot of educational and voter turnout efforts through these nonprofit organizations, and that's what he was targeting. However, the left has seized on this opportunity and has used this in every election cycle and even on ballot initiative issues to try to scare churches from being involved. This simply, and in fact, the IRS has yet to really go after churches on this. It just hangs over their head as a potential problem for churches. This would remove it, allowing churches to speak to issues. Now, it would not allow them, as I understand it, Travis, would not allow them to spend any kind of money. They still couldn't use nonprofits to fund campaigns, but nonprofits would be free to speak.
Absolutely. And this deals with the problematic implication of the Johnson Amendment while leaving in place the other purposes that we have, the 501c3 nonprofit tax-exempt classifications. It allows free speech, allows the changes, if passed, would allow a pastor to make a statement in the course of his typical activities, a sermon or something like that, freely comment on candidates. I mean, people in church want to know what different candidates have to say about their issues, and just like a other nonprofit dealing with its own issues, environmental issues, whatever the case may be, would allow them to say, hey, this guy's been good on our issues, this guy's been bad. That's perfectly normal, even helpful speech when it comes to election. It would still prevent nonprofits from being funnels of, financial funnels for
right.
election purposes and all that stuff that many people are concerned about. So this is really a win for everyone in a number of regards of free speech.
You know, I think there's two categories of those in the church. There are those that are genuinely concerned about this and what it could mean, that they are misinformed, and of course they've been helped by those on the left who have twisted this and made it into something that it's not. And then there are others who I think conveniently sidestep their responsibility to inform their congregation, saying, oh, I can't do that because the IRS says I can't. This would take that away, and so pastors and churches would be free, as you pointed out, to speak to these issues, which would be not only beneficial, I think, to the members of those congregations, but I think beneficial to society as a whole to be able to speak clearly on the moral issues and where the candidates stand on those issues.
Right, right. And this gives them the freedom to do that. It doesn't mandate, different pastors are going to approach this differently, but what it does, it lifts the chilling effect. It allows them to know the IRS is not going to be looking at them if they make a statement. And that's part of the problem, is the chilling effect. You know, many pastors out there, they don't want to break the law. I mean, they want to be good citizens. And so now you have right. this sort of chilling effect hanging over their head. This would lift that, and it would really allow them the freedom to speak, and they would allow them to relax, in essence, more free conversation to develop.
All right. Up against a break, Travis, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. Absolutely.
All right, Travis Weber with the Family Research Council, the Center for Religious Liberty. If you want more information, pastors in particular, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over to Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Some resources available there for you, and you can actually sign up to be a part of Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Don't go away!
On the first day of our tour of Israel, we will stand on the Mount of Olives and look out over the old city of Jerusalem. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. March 9 through 17, we'll be going to Israel, the Holy Land. This is 2017, of course. We'll be flying from New York City, JFK Airport, direct to Tel Aviv, and then we'll begin our 9-day tour of Israel, including Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, Tiberias, Nazareth, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, and all the places you've read about since you were a child in the Bible. For more information on this tour, you can order a brochure by calling us at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5. Also, you can visit the website twholyland.com.
Every election is important, but this year's is critical. The very survival of our republic is at stake. This is Tony Perkins, and I want to urge you to be a part of securing America's future by selecting godly leaders. As Americans, we have the right to vote. As Christians, we have an obligation to vote, preferring leaders who will stand on biblical principles. If we want our nation to once again be a beacon of hope to the world, Christians must take time to vote. Christians vote, so plan now to vote your biblical value.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org. healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at TPerkins. 866-372-7234. The number to call. And here's, I want to hear from you. We're talking about this Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Does your pastor speak about political issues? Does he talk about candidates? If not, would you like him to? Would you like to hear more from the pulpit on the issues of the day and what the Bible has to say about them, where the candidates stand on these issues? Would you like to hear more about that? So you, and of course, I understand you are probably more informed than most because you listen to Washington Watch. But nonetheless, would you still like to hear more of that in your church from your pastor? Do you think it'd be healthy for your congregation, your fellow congregants, to hear that from your pastor? 866-372-7234. Pulpit Freedom Sunday coming up October the 2nd. Again, pastors, if you're listening, you can go to the website TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over and find out more information about Pulpit Freedom Sunday and join hundreds of other pastors who are participating in that. One of the resources we have available for you is actually a comparison, and I'm going to talk more about this in the coming days, comparison between the two-party platforms. I mean, it's real clear on the key issues, religious liberty, life, marriage, education. And you can just do a comparison. And it's very interesting. I've talked about this, but almost 89% of the time, the Republicans actually pass policy in line with their party's platform. Democrats about 74, 75% of the time. So while it's not, not everything in the platform will become law and policy, it is a governing document. It has a lot of influence over the parties. And therefore, people should know what these parties stand for. And this is a great resource to do that. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. Follow the links over to Pulpit Freedom Sunday. Okay, let's go to Oklahoma, where Teresa is on the line. Teresa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes. Hello. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, really good, really good. I think that would be an absolutely fantastic and outstanding portion for each and every pastor. I know that from time to time, well, my husband and I, we both record John MacArthur, and let me tell you, there was one day in particular I could have stood and cheered if I hadn't looked ridiculous. in our home because he called it what it is. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a duck. Mm-hmm. And he called it by name, and I just thought, fantastic. Somebody has got to do this more and more, and I just think it'd be outstanding.
Now, does your pastor preach on the issues? Did he talk about these things from the pulpit?
Well, from time to time, he'll kind of merge on it, but I haven't really ever heard him come right out and say anything. But if this would not, you know, if this would kind of eliminate any type of possibilities of IRS coming in and making a horrible, horrible time, you know, for, mm-hmm. for everyone at our church, then I think it would be fantastic. Hey, if it's on the books, let's just get it going right now.
Well, I agree. I think it would make a big difference. It would remove the fear. It would remove the weapon out of the hand of the left that you know, pastors, I think Travis made this comment. I can't remember. I have so many conversations today. But, you know, our guys, our pastors, Christians in general, we want to abide by the law. And so when someone says, well, the law says you can't do that, well, I mean, we're going to stay clear of violating the law. So if we remove it, it cannot be misused by the left to intimidate and silence pastors and churches. So, Teresa, I agree with you. I think it'd be a great thing to do. And I think we're actually going to see a measure introduced here in the next few days that may very well do that. As I said, Donald Trump has been talking about that, about this, and even though we've been working on it for about 8 years, it's gotten a lot of lift because he mentions it repeatedly. All right, let's go. Teresa, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Ohio, where Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, thank you. I would like it if my pastor did. I went for a short time. I went to a church where the pastor did speak, and I mean, he even said, you know, he basically told us who he was voting for and why, you know, right from the pulpit. And I liked that. I disagreed with him. I was wrong. And, you know, looking back now, I was wrong. I disagreed with him. You know, so I would like that if he's supposed to be our figurehead, you know,
right.
But the closest, and then I moved. So I moved, I started going to another church, and the closest that this pastor comes is about a month ago. He started off by saying, you know, with election time coming up, you know, we were talking about office, you know, heads of office and what those office means. And I'm like, all right, here it comes finally. After a year and a half, he's actually going to do it. And then he starts talking about his own position and the positions of the singers and the positions of the, you know, everybody at the church, but nothing in the government.
Well, let me ask you a question, Charles. When you were at the church where the pastor spoke and said he was voting for a candidate you disagreed with, how did you respond to that?
I did ask him a couple questions. At that time, to be honest with you, I was not into politics at all. I was not into politics until about 6 months ago. 45 years old now, didn't care about politics at all until about 6 months ago. I'm like, you know, hey, I have got to start helping and doing something because this is getting horrible. So, you know, I did ask him a couple questions and stuff, but I really didn't get too involved.
So it was kind of a learning experience for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I think you're absolutely spot on when you say that, you know, pastors are supposed to be our leaders. And they're not the final word on everything. I mean, you got to test things. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says, you know, test the things and hold on to that which is good. And I believe, and I challenge people when I speak that they listen to what I'm saying and verify it, check it out. And, you know, pastors need to be out there challenging our people to apply our faith. And that includes it's not the totality of it, but it includes the political realm. And I think you did the right thing. If you disagree, go talk to them and have them explain and bring you along. But Charles, I'm glad to hear that you are now engaged And part of that, I think, is listening to Washington Watch. So thanks so much for calling in today. 866-372-7234. The phone lines lit up because a lot of folks want to hear from their pastors. Let's go to Kansas, where Marie is on the line. Marie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. I think that, like you said, that our pastors and our priests are our leaders, but I think they can cross a line when they're actually telling us what we ought to be doing when we go to the polls. I think the ideal is for our spiritual leaders to give us principles that we can follow, because as leaders, they're supposed to teach us, but they can't be holding our hands all day long. And so if they will give us the principles that we need when we go to the voting booth, that's the way that you strengthen and educate Christians to make good decisions in the public sphere, but not actually make the decisions for them and tell them, you know, in this race, this is your choice, and if you don't make it, you're not a Christian.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. It's a part of that same idea that if you teach someone how to think through a process and analyze, then they'll be able to do it on their own. But if you have to tell them every time, then they'll be reliant upon you, and they'll make, if you're not there, they're going to make the wrong decision. It's kind of like, you know, if you teach a guy to fish, he can feed himself forever, or you can just give him a fish. So it's the same type of thing, is helping them gain the skills and the understand the issues from a biblical context. Now, let me ask you this question, though. Let's say your pastor does that, but he also says this. He says, look, I'm speaking on my own behalf, me as an individual. This is who I'm voting for, and this is why. What do you think about that?
That's absolutely fine, because he's not just the leader of a church. He's also a person, just like all of us. And so, you know, pastors do that in other situations, too. Like, they'll say, you know, they might encourage us, you know, love your husbands, love your wife. Here's how I love my wife. You know, I take her on a date. But I'm not telling you that's what you have to do. But it's okay to say, you know, here's my opinion. Here's how I apply it. But I think, like you said, the most important thing is just get the principle out there.
Right, right. I think folks would be a lot better off if they knew how to analyze the choices before them based upon biblical principles and truths. Marie, thanks so much for calling. A very, very, very good point that you bring up. All right, let's move on to Indiana, where Melissa is on the line. Melissa, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for having me on the phone. My pastor does talk about politics. Actually, he lets us know who he's going to vote for, and he doesn't tell us what we need to do, but he does keep us informed with what's going on. Things that are happening, his views, and like I said, who he's voting for, but he doesn't tell us who we should vote for. I mean, he kind of does what you guys do. I mean, he gives us the facts and then lets us make our own decision, but he does let us know where he stands on things as well.
And you, in the church, appreciates that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love our church. I love the way he brings it all into focus and educates us on what's going on. Of course, I listen to AFA all the time. So I listen to it in the morning when I go to work, and I listen to it when I come home. So I'm getting it from, you know, anywhere from Sandy Rios to you. So I get it from you guys, too. But also I like hearing it that my pastor is kind of, you know, he's on the same wavelength as me. You know, he's right there with me and you guys, and I'm getting it from him as well, and he's saying the same things you guys are telling us. So
that's good to hear. It must be a watchman pastor. We need more pastors like that. That, again, I agree with Melissa and Marie that you know, I don't think pastors should tell people who to vote for, like, you vote for this candidate. I think they lay out the issues. They can lay out where the candidates stand on the issues, and they can say, this is what I personally am going to do for this reason. But I think it's more important to help people operate and live from a biblical worldview. And that's it. What I mean by that is you take an issue, like the life issue, and you look at what the Scripture says. Look at the Scripture where it says that, you know, where all human life is created in the image of God. That's the intrinsic value that comes to life because we're created in the image of God. And you can go through Scripture where David talks about being known, that God knew him when he was in his mother's womb. And you just see repeatedly these issues through Scripture, and that's operating from a biblical worldview. And that's how we should make our decisions. All right, quickly, I'm going to work in another call here. Let's go back to Oklahoma where Julie is on the line. Julie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today?
I am good. Thank you for taking my call. I am calling, I think pastors should help the congregation if they're not a false pastor. There is a big church in Chicago that I've listened to a couple of times online, and he pretty much is telling his congregation how to vote and condemning them if they go one way from what he's saying. And so, no, I don't agree with that.
Right. I don't either. I mean, I don't think you should tell people that you got to do this or you're bad. I just think, look, I think you lay out the facts, help people understand how they should make a decision. I do think the pastors have a responsibility to equip their people to understand the issues from a biblical perspective and act accordingly. And I think they should be challenged to do that. I don't think it's just saying vote for this person. I think it's, you know, here are the issues. This is what the Bible says, and this is where these candidates stand on the issues. I actually think pastors have an obligation and a duty to do that. Now, let me be very clear. I don't think they should spend all their time talking about politics. I'm talking about periodically when you have an election coming up. I mean, it is a part of our lives. Is a part of being salt and light. But I also think we should be talking about evangelism. I think we should be talking about how to raise our kids. I think we should talk about how we spend our money. I think we should, every issue we face, how we use our time, is something we should hear from the pulpit. I think every aspect of life is addressed by Scripture, the principles of it, and we should hear about it. I think that's a part of helping Christians, again, operate from a biblical worldview. All right, obviously this was an issue of interest to a lot of folks, leaving a lot of folks on the board. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but maybe we'll take this issue up again. I know we will, because October the 2nd is coming, and we're going to continue to talk about it. Folks, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.